Hey, cue ball.
Wow. Wow. That was quite a depiction, Wendy. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And our friend Dr. John Duffy joins us. He is a highly sought-after clinical psychologist, but in a good way. It doesn't mean it doesn't
help
you're being chased by the law or anything like that.
No, not at all.
Best-selling author, certified life coach, and a frequent guest here on our program. How are you, John? Nice to see you.
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
All right, love and marriage. Let's talk about it.
Yeah. So I got to thinking about the fact that we've all been married for a long time, and I've been working with more couples who've been married for decades lately than I have in 25 years. And I've been wondering, like, okay, so what's going on here? And thinking about, like, what makes for longevity and satisfaction in marriage. And doing a little research, you find it's not what you think, because sometimes you think, oh, it's going to be common interests, or you have to be able to resolve conflict really well or spend time together.
Don't cheat on them.
Don't cheat. That's a good one. Right. That's often a deal breaker. But the thing you find most often is if there's fondness and admiration, kind of consideration of one another. Like, and if you think about those words, fondness and admiration,
yeah.
After decades of marriage, we often don't take the pause to let our partner know, hey, I'm really fond of you and I admire you. We're busy. We are raising kids. We, you know what I mean? So to do that, to take that moment means a lot to the satisfaction and long-termness of your marriage.
Yeah.
What are the best ways to do that? You're not going to go, hi, I'm fond of you, honey.
No. The best ways to do that are just consideration, like, you know, date nights, spending time facing one another. So if you think about the time we spend with our spouses, oftentimes we're facing the same way, or we're looking at different screens. We're not really addressing each other. We might be in the same room, but we're not talking. And we're not talking about our future and what we picture together. We're not looking back and talking about, like, what brought us together in the first place? Mm-hmm. You know what? Yeah, and sometimes that stuff reignites, you know, a marriage that might feel like it's getting stale.
Right.
You know?
Don't you think, John, that couples need to find, and it's not an easy formula, but you need to find some sort of formula of just the right amount of time together and just the right amount of time apart?
This is no small thing, Bill. So I'm working with a couple of couples right now who spend the vast majority of their time together. And you would think, like, how great is that?
Yeah.
But that doesn't always work. Like, you think about fondness and admiration, and it doesn't leave a whole lot of time for any mystery or anything interesting or anything to talk about, because we just spent all day together.
Right.
So
right.
I think it's important to spend time apart and be interesting to one another and have something to talk about when you're sitting across from each other at dinner that night.
Yeah.
So that's a really good point.
Yeah.
Something that hits home that you said that really rang a bell was not facing the same way. When you're with your spouse, you're not facing the same way. And we're at that age where it's either watching a son perform or play a game or do something. We're together participating, but we're looking at our kids.
Right. So we probably all three are afflicted with the same issue that we're crazy about our kids, right? And so a lot of the ways that we connect are through our kids. And so as our kids get older, and we've all got kids in the, you know, late teen, early 20s ages, it's important to reconnect with our spouse and talk about them and each other and what we want to do in this next chapter of our lives, you know? And that should be exciting. For too many of us, it's like this grief stage, you know? And that's okay for a short period, but at some point, that's got to be exciting. Like, you know, what do we want to make of this time? Now we've got this free time that we can spend together. We can spend a Tuesday night going out when we couldn't have done that for the last 20 years.
Right.
And so to take advantage of that time is huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last weekend, Wendy already knows this, but Terry picked me up right after work, and we had a weekend, just she and I, and we do this 3 or 4 or 5 times a year, just a weekend somewhere close by. And I feel sorry for couples because we look over at other tables during dinner or when we're walking around town, wherever we end up, and you just see, like, they've had their fill of each other. When for us, it's an incredible time. We've been together more than 30 years. I so look forward to those weekends.
That's so great, and it is so heartbreaking, isn't it? Like, you know, because some couples establish a ritual that can go on for years and years and years.
Yeah.
But the ritual is joyless, right? So if it's like, okay, we're going to go out to the same restaurant every Friday night, and where we'll sit there in silence.
Yeah.
You know, it makes for decent people watching if you're at the other table having fun with Terry.
Right.
But if you are at that table, it doesn't connect you. You know what I mean? And there's not much hope affiliated with it. But if you decide, let's talk about something, let's talk about what's going on in the news, or let's talk about what's going on in our lives, and what do we want? Like, let's reignite the dreams we had 20, 30 years ago. And if you can do that, then you've got something that you can build on together, you know, instead of separately, because sometimes we lead very separate lives and never really fill our spouses in on what's going on in our lives.
Right, yeah. Right.
I was reading this article on the internet, so it has to be true. Actually, it was just an opinion piece, but it really also hit home. A lot of times a spouse will say, you've changed. You're not the guy or not the girl I married, but that's a given. We are going to change. Our lives change, so we need to kind of embrace that change.
Right, and appreciate that change, right? Especially if that change is progressive. Like, you've grown. You've changed in a way that I really admire, you know, because I didn't know you were headed in that direction, right? Instead of like, you know, I'm really disappointed in the way you change. The other thing we do is sometimes the things we're most drawn to initially become these things that get under our skin. And I think we need to find another way to look at those things too, you know, and really appreciate all those little elements about the person we decided a long time ago to commit to for our lives. There's a reason we did that, you know?
It's a lot of work, and anybody who says it's not is a liar. I'm sorry. Being happy, Kevin, you're celebrating your first anniversary on Saturday when the world is supposed to end. Hope that doesn't happen. But it is not only a commitment, but you have to put effort in on both parts, don't you?
Yes. And so the only issue I'll take with you is I don't think it's work. I think it's just attention. You know, I think if you depict it as work, it feels like, oh, it gives that ball and chain kind of, you know, I got to spend time with the idiot kind of thing, that shtick that we bring to marriage, instead of like, you know, I want to spend time with my wife, or I want to spend time with my husband and kind of get to know them again in some fresh way, you know, like there's a difference between that and like, oh God, here comes the work part, you know?
Well, you have to invest in it. Like, I want my tomatoes to grow, so I have to water them and feed them. You have to do that with a marriage as well.
Definitely have to.
Is that better than work?
I like that a lot better.
All right. Any questions or comments for Dr. John Duffy? You know how to reach us. We're at 312-981-7200. We'll take your calls and questions next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Our friend and our clinical psychologist, the show psychologist, Dr. John Duffy, in the studio with us. Check out his podcast, Undue Anxiety. You can find it wherever your favorite podcasts are found, or at WGNplus.com. And you can also check out his book, The Available Parents, his website, drjohnduffy.com. We were talking about investing in your marriage. We have a phone call. Do you mind taking it?
Not at all.
Jan's on the line. Hi, Jan. Dr. Duffy with you.
Hi, Wendy, and thank you, Dr. Duffy. Yes, I have a question. Married 49 years and 6 months, it'll be on Saturday.
Wow.
And we are in dire trouble. We've gone to a therapist counselor and couples counselor, sorry, and we did the technique mirroring.
Yes.
Well, we don't know. What is that, real briefly, John?
Okay, so Jan, tell me if this is the exercise you engaged in. Mirroring tends to be kind of taking each other's point of view and expressing it to make sure you understand what your partner is saying. So it's almost like role playing. Is that roughly what you did, Jan?
That's exactly what we did. And with the therapist there to guide us and keep us on track, we did very well and we had breakthroughs. We tried to do it a couple times on our own, and we have, but it seems to get fragmented. The one thing that has bothered me, actually for several years, is my husband's inability to look at me in my eyes when he's talking to me about issues, that sort of thing. I mean, he can turn and look at me and, you know, what time does the Cubs game start and what time, you know, all this and that. He's looking at my eyes. But when we are talking about a personal issue, or he cannot look at me, and that happened even in the couple's therapist office as well. I mentioned it to him, or to the therapist. I said, he's not looking at me. So she said, you know, said his name, and please look at your wife. And
because it makes you feel like he's not listening to you if he's not looking at you.
It does, and I just briefly, I was trying to compare, does he do that with everyone? We were visiting his mother and his mother, and he were talking, and his eyes were not taken off of his mother at all. And I watched him intently. So I do think it's a sign of something, and I'm wondering, Doctor, even though this may hurt my feelings, I'm wondering if you would share with me what your thoughts are on someone that has difficulty doing that.
Well, I think the news is probably not as bad as you think, Jan, because I don't think this will hurt your feelings. I can imagine exactly what Wendy's saying, that there is this inclination to take that very personally. But a lot of people, and men in particular, have a fear of intimacy. You are the person who is most intimate with him. And so I don't know if we could go back 20 or 30 years and see if this is something that's been going on in your marriage forever. But what I would encourage, on top of mirroring, and I would continue to do that with a therapist, is to really talk to him without accusation, without shaming him, about what that really is about for him. And he may surprise you, because he may have some insight, and he also may have no idea that he's doing it. But if he knows that he's doing it, he may have no idea why. So to have a meta level talk about, why is this? This has been going on for a long time. And just knowing that it hurts your feelings, that it affects you, that might get him to work on it in a way that he never has before. So I would encourage you to work in those two ways. Keep mirroring, but also talk about this particular phenomenon and why it might be taking place. And you will get somewhere with this. You guys have been together for a long time. There is a reason that a marriage lasts 50 years. So there's something to build on there.
Good luck to you, Jan, and you'll make it to 50.
I appreciate your comments, both of you. Thank you so much.
It's hard to hear those words. We've been together for 49 years, and boy, are we in trouble. As soon as she said that, my heart dropped. Because you go, that's almost 50 years. So there has to be something working. Just find it.
Right, exactly right. People... there's a reason that people stay together, and sometimes you have to mine that after all this time, because marriage, like any relationship, over time becomes habitual. And so we forget what drives us when we're just acting out of habit. So, you know what I mean? I walk in the door, I hang my head on a hook, hi, honey, I'm home, and I sit down and read the paper. Old school, and people can do that for decades and decades and decades, right? And never think about wait, what is this relationship about? What is our lives together about? Right. Let's talk about that. And that might be what Jan and her husband are running into, is just not taking that beat to talk about, what is our relationship about? Or what's it about now, not 49 years ago?
Yeah.
Can almost every marriage be saved, would you say?
I think...
That's a tough question to answer.
The vast majority of marriages can be saved. And in the circumstances in which people drift apart or they no longer have things in common, I think it's okay sometimes when marriages end. I've worked with teenagers who talk about their parents, and their parents are absolutely staying together for the kids, and the kids will say, in the same hour, good God, I don't know what keeps them together. I wish they would just do it and break up already.
Because staying together for the kids doesn't help the kids, does it?
Not at all. Not at all. And kids are keenly aware of it. And we have to remember, we're modeling relationships for our kids, and we want them to have good, happy, strong relationships. And if that means, your parents aren't getting along the way we used to, but we're going to co-parent together, well, that's fine. That shouldn't be the end of the world.
We saw more than a handful of couples when our daughters graduated 2 years ago, and I'm sure you saw the same thing, and Wendy, you probably did too. Our kids are about the same age. Several couples broke up right after their kids graduated from high school because they thought in their heads, they really don't need us to be together anymore, so why are we together?
It's this is a fallacy a lot of people live under, is that, until the kids go to school, off to college, we're going to stay together, and that does no favors for the kids. So if that's the reason you're staying together, I encourage you to revisit that at the very least.
John, here's a happy text. My wife and I just celebrated 25 years together because murder is illegal.
Thank goodness for the little things, right?
Yeah, it is the little things. This isn't fair to ask you with only a minute, but this text is a tough one, too. What do you say to somebody who is married to a longtime alcoholic? That's got to be quite a challenge, huh?
Yeah, and that's where in marriage, I think non-negotiables are underrated. And this is an area that is non-negotiable, because when you're married to somebody who is actively alcoholic or actively depressed, mentally ill, something like that, the throwdown has to be, if you don't get help, then I can't be in this relationship, because it's not a relationship. in this iteration.
Right.
But if you do, I'll stick with you and I'll support you.
But aren't there then some feelings of abandonment? There'd have to be, wouldn't there be?
Absolutely. There's got to be therapy. So along with AA and a whole, it takes a ton of work. But I've worked with marriages in that circumstance that can be saved if you're willing to put in that work and you're committed to one another. But it has to start with like kind of reinvigorating the relationship and getting well.
And when you give that ultimatum, like, you know, we're done unless you get help, that should be said because that person needs help.
Absolutely. And the ultimatum is a real thing, right? It's like, you know, I'm not going to stay in this. It's not healthy for me to stay with you if you're not well.
I always put everybody else first.
Sure.
I got to learn to start thinking about me.
Sure.
So, absolutely. Bill, wrap this up. And,
all right, I'm wrapping it up.
Let's get going.
I am. That's Dr. John Duffy. You just heard his podcast is called Undo Anxiety. It's at WGN Plus. Very, very well done podcast. And then the book is called The Available Parent. It's sold wherever books are sold. Thanks, John. Appreciate
Thank you,
it. We'll take a quick break, then some news. Stay here, Bill and Wendy, WGN.